You're listening to the Cultural Curriculum Chat, the podcast that specializes in multicultural education and classroom strategies. I'm your host, Jebba Edmonds. Let's get started. Hello again. My name is Jebba Edmonds, and welcome to my channel, Mrs. Edmonds Cultural Corner. And if you're listening to the podcast, it's the Cultural Curriculum Chat. I am a motivated educator and small business owner. And today we're going to focus on talking about key vocabulary terms in diversity, equity, and inclusion. So before we get into it, I want you to broaden your horizons and embrace diversity. Subscribe to our channel for eye-opening multicultural content that gets here to you every single week. So once you are a subscriber, it will automatically get you the latest content as soon as it drops. One of my favorite researchers in the anti-racist space is Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. Love his books, love his work. And one of the quotes I want to start with us today is, he says, and I quote, "The first step to having conversations about race, racism, and being anti-racist is ensuring there is a common vocabulary. This first step to safe and productive conversations is to define terms so everyone can be on the same page," end quote. Now, I found a wonderful common phrases in DE&I resource guide by the American Psychological Association, and I will give you that information in the description below. It's wonderful. It has lots of great starting prompts and key terms that can help you use this as a glossary field guide in today's society. So we're just going to go over six of the key terms from this reference point. And I'm going to just give you what they are and some examples of what each word means and how it is interacting. So we're going to talk about inclusion, intersectionality, marginalized, privilege, unconscious bias, and white fragility. These terms I picked because they seem to be the most common misunderstood key terms when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion. So to start off with inclusion, this happens when everyone has the best intentions to look around the room and make sure that people are included. It could make you feel that you can be your best self. I always say you feel like you sit a little taller. You feel more comfortable. You also feel safe. And some of the questions when you are in spaces, either at work or at a community function, is to ask yourself, is this place accessible for all? Who's being left out? And can everybody who has their social identities and their cultural heritage, are they feeling like they can be included? So that's a big example about inclusion. When we're talking about intersectionality, Professor Kimberly Crenshaw, she describes intersectionality as how race, class, gender, and other social identities intersect with one another. Being multi-identity is another sense of saying intersectional. For example, I am a heterosexual Black woman. I am also Liberian American. I'm a white, and I'm also a mother. And so that is my intersectionality. So even as a Christian, that's another identity that I hold. So those are the multiple identities in our construct of social interactions is intersectionality. So thinking about what identities do you hold the highest is one I have walked my organizations through. And then also thinking about perceptions of how people perceive you and the identities. Some identities are not overt and capable to be picked up. What are the perceptions of others that they have of you, and then what perceptions do you have of others and the identities that you may or may not see? That's one thing to think about. Marginalized. Now that means that you are on the fringes of society in terms of being excluded and isolated due to the systems in place, systems of government, systems of access, cultural systems, and privileged groups that say if you are for or against being included in these different groups. Being marginalized are mostly people that are the most vulnerable to access. They are the most groups of people that are disenfranchised due to the systems in place of oppression. For example, redlining in real estate, test scores, and the achievement gap. There's so many of these systems that group people of different identities into these facets of being on the outside looking in. And that goes into privilege. Privilege is a set of unearned benefits due to belonging to a specific social group, and that includes race, gender, sexual orientation, even socioeconomic status. That all plays into privilege. And you have researcher Peggy McIntosh, and she has a wonderful article all about white privilege and unpacking the invisible knapsack. This was written over 30 years ago, and a lot of it is still ringing true about what white privilege looks like. And like I said, that's one pillar of privilege. There's so many different facets of privilege. I'm just giving you one example. The next definition I really want to talk about is unconscious bias. And when I'm talking about unconscious bias, there is a lot of wonderful research there as well. It's another term of stereotypes and what we learned in our subconscious by adults in our lives and helping us form attitudes and experiences about different groups. So, for example, it happens to us automatically outside of our control. And again, it's triggered by our brain making these quick judgments and assessments of people and situations by our own unconscious beliefs. I really love Harvard's Project Implicit, and I walk a lot of my clients through these implicit bias tests, which talks more in depth about that unconscious bias and understanding what it is and how we can check and correct those biases that we have. Also talk about, with that, white fragility. Another great researcher, Robin DiAngelo, has a wonderful book on white fragility, and it talks about the defensive reaction white people have, not all, when it comes to white supremacy, about their own ideals about race and racism when they are being challenged. It's a state of things that can trigger a range of defensive techniques and moves. And sometimes they're outwardly displayed, and sometimes it's passive-aggressive behaviors. And Robin DiAngelo has a really good method in this book of giving these rules of engagement, she says, of how some people in society of privilege react when you are confronting them when harm has been done. And of course, lots of resources that I have walked my clients through in understanding these key terms is just the beginning of fully recognizing how we can be a more inclusive workplace. Now, going through these terms that I've shared, we're talking about inclusion, intersectionality, marginalized, privilege, unconscious bias, and white fragility. I always walk this through with my clients of reflective practice. A lot of us getting into that uncomfortableness of being uncomfortable and learning new things, especially learning how to be a better culturally competent leader. A lot of it has to do with ourselves and looking inward. And by understanding the key terms and also reflecting, what actions have I done in the past that I need to change in order to make that positive change that we've talked about on this show? So I want you to just stop what you're doing, grab your journal or grab some paper and a pen, and I'm going to give you two prompts. And now in these two prompts, I want you to write these prompts down, and I want you to just process these, because these are big questions that I'm going to ask you. And when you write this down, I really want you to sit with it and think about how you can answer it in your own words. And trust me, these answers might disappoint you. They might make you feel like, man, I'm not as far as what I thought I was, and I need to do some more work. So let's just get the ball rolling. So for the first question, I'm going to have you write down, why do we still have a fear about talking about the social construct of race? Yeah, a lot of us are like, oh, Jeb, I don't see color. Yeah, 2024, some people still look at me and go, yeah, Jeb, I see you as Jebeb, but not Black Jebeb. Am I saying the wrong thing? And I always say, I'm proud of being who I am. I'm proud to be a Black woman. There's nothing wrong with that. But why are we still having this fear when we're talking about the social construct of race? And I want you to really be honest with yourself when you write this down. The second question I want you to write down, I want you to fill in this blank. The power of perceptions and my role of my own perceptions towards others have blank. What are you going to end that sentence with? How has that been towards your perceptions of others? Yes, Mrs. Edmonds is giving you some homework today, darlings. Yes, I want you to really sit with these two prompts and take your time to reflect on your own actions and behaviors to fully understand these two questions. And when you're doing that, it really helps people like me in the BIPOC communities to say, wow, you're really thinking about your actions and how you respond to things. And that really will move the needle forward in promoting that positive change that we all need. After going through this exercise, you might still be overwhelmed. You might still not really understand the terms that were used earlier in this episode. And so I will help you clarify and provide more definitions of terms and phrases that everyone uses in this DEI space, but very few people understand it. You might still say, okay, Jeb, I'm getting it, but I still need some more help. I have helped over 60 organizations. I have been in the education space for 18 years, plus 2 years out of education and still educating others to help them understand and implement inclusive workplace strategies at work and at school and even in the community. And I would love for you to learn more and join my course today and start creating a more inclusive and culturally competent community. And you can find all the information enrolling in the course right now at jebeedmonds.com/digital course. And that is jebeedmonds.com/digital course. I look forward to showing you some gems and resources right at your fingertips. I have a workbook that you can write down with lots more journal prompts. I have 4 weeks of great content that gets to you every single week with videos and tutorials and lessons and things that you can experiment at work that you can use to make those changes right now. So again, do not hesitate. Join the movement today. Get this course. You'll be happy you did at jebeedmonds.com/digital course. Thank you so much for listening today. Learning more about key terms in DE&I and broadening your horizons. I made you work today, getting that journal out and your fine pen. And let's continue this movement together. The next episode I'm going to share with you is all about what you can and cannot say. A lot of the things that we've used in the past and our phrases have really negative connotations. And I really want you to stay tuned for next week. You'll learn some great strategies in how to rephrase in order to make positive change. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Cultural Curriculum Chat with Jebba Edmonds. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We will be here same time, same place next week. Take care. Bye-bye.